Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, we've got the heat fizzling. We've got Trey Roberson with a big surprise for everybody. We've got Elizabeth Albrand and Brooke Leakin representing Jasper in the state doubles tennis meet this week. We've got World Cup. We've got plenty to talk about once again, don't we?
Well, the world of sports never ends, whether it's on the local level, the state level, college, pro, it doesn't matter. From baseball to football to tennis to track to NASCAR, and for all the worldwide lovers of the World Cup, and I know, Joe, you are one of those worldwide lovers of World Cup soccer. Now, if Kyle Kendall's tuning in today, coach of the Jasper soccer team. Kyle, I'm up on my World Cup, and although I am not a worldwide lover of the World Cup in soccer, I am up on the flopping incident, Joe, from Brazil's player yesterday that led to a penalty kick, I guess, that led to a goal that gave them the lead and the win in the World Cup round yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it, but I have a friend who's a major lover of the World Cup, and he was all pissed off. Mad. Thank God we're not on the on the World Wide Web. And
it's legal on the internet, Joe. It's legal on the internet.
He said his description was the Brazil better buy the referees a nice present.
Yeah, and to. The flopping question is all over sports. It really all started with the NBA coming out and saying, you know, it's not gamesmanship anymore. This kind of trickery hurts the game. This acting, this non-foul hurts the game because, one, it stops play, it changes possession, it causes key players to get fouls. Some people like to call it strategy. If you can get away with it, you know, I've always said you do what the officials allow. But the NBA has kind of stepped in and said flopping is not gamesmanship. It makes a mockery of the game itself, and it lends to hurting the game. And so now everybody's kind of watching this in every sport. We'll probably see it in baseball as far as holding and pass interference, football. We'll probably see the soccer question come up a little bit more after the Brazil incident. And I got to say, Dwayne Wade's was bad. It was pretty bad. If you're at the wrong angle, you think Wade got fouled, but clearly there was a foot between the hand of Ginobili and Wade's chin. But the soccer flop was just absolutely ridiculous. And a sport that is worldwide and loved by everybody. It's definitely in the news today, but not for the right reasons. But the World Cup will go on. Brazil gets a win. More games today. I think Mexico plays today. Spain plays today. So World Cup action is going forward. And the flopping question, I'm sure, will continue to be discussed over and over and over again. Joe, before we get in on to the Rangers down 3-1 in hockey and those kind of things, I know you like to touch on the local sports scene, and we will throughout the 2 hours of the Coach K and Joe Show. But go ahead and give us a little background on the two gals from Jasper, the playing in the state doubles tennis tournament up in Indianapolis, I believe, at Park Tudor this weekend. Today, I think they play, might be getting ready to start their doubles match. It's either today or tomorrow. Joe, give us a little input on that right now.
Yeah, okay. Elizabeth Albrand and Brooke Leakin are representing Jasper in the state doubles tournament championship. For those of you who don't understand, after your team gets beat, if you're still undefeated, you get to go on into a regional and semi-state and state round, and Elizabeth and Brooke are in the state final four. They got a first round bye. They'll play tomorrow, and they're one game away from playing for a state title. And Jasper's always had I think it's ever since you and John Kremp were the student managers of the tennis team that you helped booster Ed Yarbrough and Scott Yarbrough's program to new heights. But they're a machine that just keeps rolling. And we wish Brooke and Elizabeth all the luck in the world. I know we've had Elizabeth's mom and dad listen whenever they get a chance. So Jason and Susan, we'd like to wish good luck to Brooke and Elizabeth.
And of course, Jason Albrand, the assistant basketball coach, baseball coach at Jasper High School. And Susan Albrand, known her for years. She was former Susan Hutchison from Vincennes, Indiana. And for those of you listening outside of the state of Indiana, we are broadcast. The Coach K and Joe Show is broadcast out of the state of Indiana, here in the United States of America, in the southern part of the state. Evansville and Jasper, Indiana, are our studio setups. So we try to cover the local sports as well as the national sports scene, and even the world scene, of course, with World Cup soccer. And, Joe, I'm sure somebody's going to say, hey, I think Coach K is kind of tongue-in-cheeking on soccer. I'm really not. I'm one of the generational people that missed out on the soccer craze. My kids, Josh, Paige, and Scott, have never been participants in soccer other than a couple years in the younger grades. I would have loved for them to participate longer. For some reason, they did not want to. But soccer is a worldwide sport. There's no doubt about it. It's picking up generations here in the United States of America as well. The World Cup is huge. Soccer in the high school level is big. It's big on the college level. So I want to give it its due. We certainly, Joe, understand that there is a whole generation coming up that will be soccer enthusiasts. But I might also add, and Joe, we see this in the NBA Finals right now, basketball, I know baseball is trying to do it, football is trying to do it, basketball is a worldwide sport as well. A number of players from countries outside the United States are individual players playing in the NBA Finals, Tony Parker, Ginobili, a number of them, and they're outstanding basketball players, and they have great impacts for their teams. So basketball as well is also that worldwide phenomenon, and we have to give the Dream Team a lot of credit for that. Of course, the original Dream Team, Bird, Magic Johnson, Chris Mullin, that whole group, Michael Jordan, they took the world by storm and in essence brought basketball to the forefront as well, Joe.
Yeah, and I don't watch a whole lot of soccer, but I will admit that during the World Cup, I do follow it a lot closer and always hope that the USA does well. But, it's amazing. I mean, when you see the fans, even if you're not a big soccer fan, you realize just how big of a sport it is. I mean, they're crazy. The people are absolutely nuts, and they love their soccer and they love their national team, much like the USA loves their national team. But I mean, it's amazing what the smaller countries like Ireland and et cetera. I mean, I think the world stops right now for them. It's all about the World Cup, and it is exciting to watch. And I will follow the World Cup. So I remember following the last one. You're right. Did they even have high school soccer back when we were in high school? I don't even know. We just didn't have it in our generation.
I do know, Joe, and there was no soccer back, at least at Jasper High School when we were there. But it's a worldwide phenomenon. It's the most popular sport in the world, Joe. There's no doubt about it. Joe, I think we might have a caller, if you want to check that.
Yeah, I'm going to check on them, and you go ahead and discuss the world sports.
Yeah, I'm going to mention the Stanley Cup Finals right now. again, I'm not a big hockey guy, but I do enjoy watching the playoffs. I think, you know, you get a little bit of everything when you watch hockey. You get the beauty of great athletic skill, tremendous ability to skate, move on the ice, multitask while you're doing it, beat the crap out of somebody while you're doing it. I mean, literally beat the crap out of somebody while you're doing it. And the finesse of the game as well as the power of the game. We are in the Stanley Cup Finals. And, of course, the New York Rangers and Los Angeles Kings, the East-West series between them and the Stanley Cup Finals, Los Angeles, the Kings, have taken a commanding lead in the Stanley Cup Finals, just like the Spurs have taken a commanding lead in the NBA Finals. Los Angeles is up 3-1. They beat the Rangers 3-2, 5-4, 3-0, 3-0, and the Rangers have won 2-1. Next game is tonight at Los Angeles. So the Kings, and you know why I always, the Kings resonate to me, and it's because the great one, Wayne Gretzky, left Edmonton. If you'll remember the huge contract, if you're a hockey fan, left Edmonton on the trade that no one ever thought would happen after numerous championships in Edmonton and scoring championships. He went to Los Angeles, became a member of the Kings, and immediately overnight, hockey became a sensation in Los Angeles. They had some success. I believe they got to a Stanley Cup Finals. Not positive, but I think they did. But hockey was kind of reborn, if you will, in Los Angeles at the time. Of course, Anaheim also, some hockey, I believe. But Los Angeles Kings are in a commanding position with a 3-1 lead right now in the Stanley Cup Finals. Question that everybody's asking, who has a better chance of coming back from a 3-1 deficit? Is it the New York Rangers in hockey, or is it the Miami Heat in the NBA Finals over the Spurs? I don't think that the Rangers can come back. I do think the Heat can come back. Do I think the Heat will come back? I don't know about that. I know that right now the Spurs have the Heat back on their heels. And I definitely, the Spurs look like the dominant basketball team, just like the Los Angeles Kings look like the dominant hockey team. So let's switch from hockey into the NBA Finals, and let's talk a little bit about the Spurs and the Heat series. I think everyone is shocked at what the Spurs have been able to do to the Heat, especially with two not just wins in Miami, but dominating performances. Now, I'm one of those guys that I've watched enough basketball, enough sports in my life, that I have seen the ebbs and flows. I always call basketball a game of runs. In fact, I was sitting with my dad yesterday, a former high school basketball coach, longtime successful basketball coach. I was sitting with my sons and my daughter. My son Josh, my oldest son, is a varsity assistant in his first teaching and coaching job at Bar Eve High School. We're sitting there. We're having a cup of coffee. We're talking with my dad. It was great to have three generations together as we come into the Father's Day weekend. And we're talking about the Spurs, and we're talking about the Heat. And my son, we talk about the big leads, and my dad, of course, he's 86, phenomenal. Health mentally and physically, he says, I never get too excited when there's a 20-point lead, 25-point lead in an NBA game, especially in the playoffs. And I say, I agree. I've seen them in the first half, third quarters, and all of a sudden they're gone. And my son Josh says, what my dad says, what I always say and have said on the show, yeah, basketball, it's a game of runs. I kind of chuckled and I thought, there you go. He gets it, three generations, and we get it. basketball is a game of runs. But the Spurs have been able to control that and dominate those games, especially Miami. And, you know, Joe, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back, and we must have had a caller that just wanted to listen. So,
okay, that's fine. We appreciate that. That's wonderful. The Spurs, Joe, I think that most people, what you're hearing is the same thing I'm hearing. What phenomenal teamwork and passing. Look at those extra passes. Look at how they play the game. And, Joe, I got to tell you this. You're a longtime basketball fan, as I am. I've coached. You've watched a lot of basketball. You've been there. You're a big Purdue fan, the Gene Katie era especially. You know what, Joe? Why are people so surprised? That's the way basketball is supposed to be played. Ball reversals, skip passes. I mean, Joe, why are so many people surprised that that works?
I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I kind of lost track here because the person I got a text from. I got a text. So please ask the question again. I got a call.
Well, basically, Joe, that's fine. I'm just it's almost a question that I'm going to answer, and I'm just talking about the fact that so many people from ESPN, Mike and Mike, all these Fox Sports. All these people are talking about the beauty of the way the Spurs play. My point was just this. That's the way basketball is supposed to be played. That's how you're supposed to play the game. What has happened is the dribble drive option that came into basketball took over because it was so exciting to see the individual athletic ability of people taking the ball to the hoop. Penetrating, but what it changed the game, and then it kind of altered the ability and the experience of the game. The game is a team game. It's played with five guys moving the basketball. The dominant players continue to score. There's no doubt about that. Make the great plays, make the great passes. But the Spurs are proof that you can move the basketball. And I'd love to get into more of the science of the coaching. But to do that, it's probably going to go into a level that a lot of listeners may not be interested in. But one of the great plays last night was it was a flash out to the wing area, elbow wing area, pass came in, pass went down to the post, and then they kicked it to the man cutting on the opposite side. It was kind of a, instead of a high-low, it was a low-high. But if you really put a freeze on that, you see a wonderful triangle that's created. And, you know, we make a big deal about Phil Jackson's triangle offense. Well, that is a major part of basketball, and that's what happened. But the Spurs are doing, and Coach Popovich just does it so well, but why does he do it so well? That's the big question that a lot of people, you know, what makes Coach Popovich able to get these guys to do that? I'm going to tell you what it is. They understand on the Spurs, and they bring people in with that understanding. Greg Popovich is the coach, and I'm proud to say he's an Indiana native. Greg Popovich is the coach. Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, all the other guys are the players, and they understand that. You know what you don't get? You don't get Spurs players saying, I got disrespected by the coach. Coach Pop disrespected me because he yelled at me, because he got in my face a little bit to wake me up, because he told me what I did wrong. When I think it was Green ran at Allen and got shot faked out off the court, literally off the court, timeout ensued, and Pop was all over him. Because he didn't close out properly. He didn't get into his chest with a high hand and close out properly. Fundamental basketball. That's what makes the Spurs special. From ownership to management to coaching, they let the coach coach. they tell the players, you're here to play and follow what the coach wants. Do they win every game? No. Have they been in the playoffs like 16 straight years? Yes. And the formula from Sean Elliott to Robinson to all the other great players that have come along with the Spurs has been the same. You play starts with leadership at the top in the ownership's position to stand by the coaching staff, and it also starts with the leadership of the players. And Tim Duncan is a pro's pro. You know what? We hear all the time, folks, we hear all the time that the NBA is a player's league. Well, the NBA is a player's league, man. That's just the way it is. Well, you know what? I hope that the players are watching Tim Duncan, watching Manu Ginobili, watching Tony Parker, watching Danny Green, who was cut by the Cavaliers, I believe, thrown out as it wasn't good enough, couldn't fit. He was brought in, recycled by Coach Pop and the Spurs organization to find his spots. Patty Mills, look at the energy, the enthusiasm, the eagerness. He is going to excel on a team like that, even though he's undersized. He is going to excel on a team like that because they move the basketball. They have five guys involved. They're not standing watching someone else. They're always moving, always ready, shot making, cutting, flashing, splitter. How many of you listeners, let's be honest, how many of you listeners have watched Splitter and laughed at it? Look at that big white thug, that Frankenstein. Let me tell you something. He's what you call the role player. He's what you call the guy who makes up the team. You can't have all stars. You can have a team playing like all stars. The big three are struggling right now, and there's various reasons for that. We're going to talk about that later in the show. There's various reasons. But what I want to end this first segment on is the fact that the San Antonio Spurs are not doing anything new to basketball. The San Antonio Spurs are playing basketball, team basketball, the way they played it most of the 16 years that Greg Popovich has been there. They're playing basketball the way teams who are successful are supposed to play the game, a la the old Indiana University teams, the Purdue teams that we grew up around. When you move the basketball, good things happen. When you don't stand and watch and you're moving, good things happen. They get back, they get out, they move the ball. How many times did they not settle for an eight-footer and kicked it one more time for a layup? How many times did they not settle for a quick three and move the ball and got a better three? In that game last night, I saw Tony Parker take a couple bad shots, Leonard take a couple bad shots. But for the most part, those bad shots were normal shots for most teams. They were quick shots off one pass. And you're looking and you're saying, that's not Spurs basketball right there. That's not how they got a 20-point lead. But I'll tell you what, Kawhi Leonard has been a beast. He's been a beast. He's given them some strength and toughness that they didn't have, that Duncan's kind of lost through his age. But Duncan's accepted what he can do and what he can't do, and he has done it. Folks, he has done it oh so well, as a coach and a person who loves the game and still loves to get out there and play what little I can. He does it oh so well. But Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi Leonard went in for a dunk last night. I don't know if you saw it. And he went down the lane. He got fouled by the Birdman, Anderson. He missed the dunk only because he got fouled. He went in ferociously. He went in like Worthy used to go in. He went in and was going to tomahawk that baby down. Kawhi Leonard, no doubt, has been the MVP so far for the Spurs.
Yeah, you know, a tough play like that. I mean, yeah, I was watching. I was at one of my favorite, and I think your favorite restaurants, Wings and Rings, the other night, and watching. They had a thing on the Pistons and the Celtics when they played in the playoffs, and the toughness that was played with there. And I forgot just how many altercations, I'll call them, that teams used to have back then, just flat-out altercations, with Larry Bird being a major part of those. And, you know, they played that game so tough. You know, it used to be, how do I want to say this, Coach, more of a man's game? I don't know. Or a thug game? What do I want to say? What am I trying to say here?
Well, you know, to get to the point, you're talking about the Bad Boys of Detroit. It was more of a physical game. You can call it some cheap shots. The Spurs were the worst. Bill Laimbeer, I don't even like talking about him from the standpoint of the way he played. But Kawhi Leonard has brought some of that toughness to that game for the Spurs, but with finesse. He's got the skill and the finesse with the physical toughness. So I've just been very impressed with the Spurs, as most of the people watching the NBA Finals. I guess the big question is, what's happened to the Heat? What's happened to the Big Three? Where are they headed? Down 3-1. Well, we know they're going back to San Antonio. Do they have a chance? What's the future hold? And where does Carmelo Anthony come into that? Well, we're going to talk about that. But first, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to have the mailbag, and then we're going to talk about the Big Three and what's going to happen with the Miami Heat in this NBA Finals and what may happen going forward. You're listening to Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we've got Coach K's mailbag. First, before an administrative note, I might have been sounding distracted for the last 15, 20 minutes. Realized something was wrong with our website. It's not back to where it was when we started the show, when I checked it, but it is there functional, and you'll be able to click on the listen live button, and we'll be able to get on the show and listen to us now. Coach, are you ready for questions?
Well, first, Joe, I want to thank you for clarifying your situation, because I got to tell you on my end, if you don't know, folks, Joe and I are in separate locations as we do this show. It's the beauty of the internet and the cell phone. But I'm glad you clarified it, because I literally thought you had been, like, losing your mind back there. You're so off topic. I didn't know what was going on. So I'm glad you clarified it, Joe, and I'm glad
you
get the website fixed.
If you look at our website now, it looks totally different, but it'll be back to where it was after the show. But right now it's functional, and you can click on the Listen Live button, and you'll be able to listen to us. I clicked on it. I always click on things to make sure they're working, and when I clicked on it, I was like, at first I thought it wasn't our website, and I didn't realize it was. So
folks, Joe really isn't that out of it. He just was working on something else. He's juggling two, producer and engineer, as well as the Joe part of the Coach K and Joe show. So, Joey, we got some mailbag questions before we,
yes, we
talk
do.
About a few other things. But let me mention one
yes.
thing before you go to the mailbag.
Okay.
Folks, I like NASCAR. Some people don't. I do. I don't watch the whole race. I tune in and out. I follow the point standings. The guy I love is number 88, Dale Earnhardt Jr. As my son and I, my youngest son, we're always going, it's Dale Earnhardt Jr., folks. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to win this race. Well, he did win the race. He won at Pocono Joe. He came around. Keselowski tried to get some stuff off the front grill, made a tactical mistake, opened the door for Earnhardt to come around and get his second win of the NASCAR season, first time since 2004 that Jr. has multiple wins in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. And I am excited to say Dale Earnhardt just won at Pocono. We'll see what he can do this week. I'm sure you were as excited as I was, Joe.
Well, Junior is my driver, too. What is it called? The Dirty Mo Posse? I'm part of that, you know?
Well,
you know,
we wish him luck at Michigan. He's always raced pretty well there. In fact, if NASCAR fans will remember, a couple years ago when he had gone like 100 races without a win, something like that, I'm sure somebody will correct me, he won at Michigan to break that streak. And hopefully he can do two in a row, get two in a row with a win at Michigan. He is third presently in the Point Cup standings, but he will make the chase with his two victories. All right, Joe, fire the mailbag questions to me.
Are we ready? Okay. Last week you discussed the Cincinnati Reds with the Chicago Cubs sitting at 26 and 38 on the season and the St. Louis Cardinals sitting 34 and 32 on the season. What will they have to do to make it to the playoffs and possibly a bid in the World Series?
And we're talking about the Reds?
Yeah, you know, the question was, we talked about the Reds last week. They wanted to know about
okay.
the Cubs and the Cardinals, what you think that they need to do to make it to the playoffs.
For the Cubs, it's real simple, folks. The same thing that you guys say every year. Kurt Gooksell, you know it well. A buddy of mine named Macaluso, you know it well. Wait till next year. The Cubs, you're simply going to have to wait till next year. You don't have the hitting, you don't have the pitching, and you certainly don't have the bullpen to make a run into the playoffs. I hope that you're ripping me in a month when the Cubs are working towards first place. But it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. The Cardinals, I'm not a big Cardinals fan. I was a supporter of the Cardinals while Scott Rowland was there. But after that, I have not been. I have several brothers who are. Joe, we are surrounded by Cardinal fans here in the Midwest. I don't know what to tell you about the Cardinals other than they have been, and this is not anything brilliant, folks. They're inconsistent. Their hitting is never moving. It's never flowing at the same time the pitching is, and vice versa. Wainwright having a solid year. Other guys, question marks. Hitting has been suspect. They are in a division, though, with Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Chicago, Pittsburgh. They are in a division where they are going to have a great opportunity. If they just play a few games above 500 to get into playoffs, I really believe that. The thing about the Cardinals organization, when they get in the playoffs, they seem to up their game. Some teams don't do that. The Reds haven't. in recent years, but the Cardinals have. But I'm just not sure that the team as it sits is one that's going to be strong enough to move into the playoffs and advance. So that's where the general manager comes in, the ownership comes in, working with Matheny to maybe trade for some people late, get something to kind of spark them as they make a playoff run. But, Joe, to answer the question, the mailbag question, I think the Cardinals are in. Even as poorly as they've played, and I think at one point they lost seven in a row, they were the team that let the Tampa Bay Devil Rays off the hook the other night. I don't know if you've been following the Devil Rays, Joe, but they had lost, I don't know, nine in a row, something like that, and then they finally beat the Cardinals. So the Cardinals kind of let them off the hook. But I do believe the Cardinals will make playoffs, and depending on the moves they can make at the deadline, that'll decide whether they can advance. But Milwaukee is playing pretty well, folks, but I don't know if they can sustain it all the way through.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
Throw it at me.
You might have an opinion of this, but I don't think any of us really know the true answer. Coach, why would Trey Roberson leave now and leave us high to dry without any options of replacing him? And for our listeners, Trey Roberson is the IU quarterback of the Indiana University.
Yes. Trey Roberson came on the scene a couple years ago, if you'll remember, folks. Think back a little bit. He was a true freshman starter for the Hoosier football squad. He had that horrible injury to his leg. He was one of those triple threat guys. He could catch the ball as quarterback. He could run with the ball, and he could throw the ball. He was triple or dual threat, you might call it, from a quarterback position. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't think that Trey Roberson left the Hoosiers high and dry. I think that Trey Roberson saw the writing on the wall. Right now, IU has a stable of quarterbacks. I believe they've gotten a commitment from a very good one coming in. And so if you're Trey Roberson, you got to look at it and you've got to say, Coach Wilson has a passing pro-style offense. He wants to throw the football. And I think Troy Roberson has to look and say, when you look at all the scheme and who I'm up against now and who's coming in, I'm the odd man out. I'm going to be more of the option quarterback. The quarterback's going to try to run rather than pass. Not that he can't pass, but his athletic ability made him such a threat. We've seen that over the years from quarterbacks. You know, Robert Griffin III, he's not at that level, but that type of quarterback. And we've seen that. I think the injury took a little bit out of Trey Roberson. I think that when you look at the depth chart, he is definitely not and won't be. And I think that Trey Roberson really took, unless there's something more, but if you say, Coach K, what do you think? I think he realized, I'm the odd man out. I can stay here. I can try to get in some games on some injuries. If we're playing poorly, I might get in. Running situations, they're putting me in. But even last year, Joe, and you laughed at IU several times, last year they tried to use Trey Roberson in several situations, and he ended up fumbling the ball on the snap. So, folks, you have to look at the body of work since his injury, the progress of the Hoosier football team, this passing schemes they run, the pro-style look, and let's face it, IU, and Joe, I know you're going to hit the laugh button, but it's true, IU has one of the most exciting offenses in Division I football, and especially in the Big Ten, based on their ability to score. and score quickly. Go ahead, hit your laugh button, Joe. Go ahead.
No, wait. I want before I hit it, I want to clarify one thing. Okay, this is not for the offense. This is for their defense.
I knew he was going to do it, folks.
And Coach, I got one question to ask you, though. Would he, you know, his, and if he's going to make money playing football, he's going to have to be making an Antoine Randall type switch. Wouldn't he be better off just staying at IU and making that switch and trying to show the pros what he can do at that position than going to, you know, because if he wants to play this year, if I'm not mistaken, he's got to go at least double A, right? He's not going to be able to do that. And, you know, I mean, I've heard some different rumors of different places, and it's like, you know, there's some really good quarterbacks at those places, and the competition's not going to be any easier, I don't think, wherever, you know, if he tries to go somewhere bigger. Yeah, would he go to 1AA and just try to play this year out and play a different position or play quarterback? Or I just don't think he's ever going to make a cent as a quarterback.
You know, Joe, your point is well taken, and I absolutely agree with what you're saying. But sometimes, and we've seen it in athletes, we've seen it in business people, we've seen it in coaches, we've seen it in ourselves. Everybody listening has had their moment where the ego takes precedent over reality. And Trey Roberson's reality is that he's going to need to make a position switch if he is going to extend his career beyond college. The ego is probably saying, no, man, Robert Griffin III didn't. Some of these other guys haven't. You know, Johnny Football, he's running and throwing. And so his ego tells him, I'm the athlete. I can do it. I'm the dual threat. I don't think he is. I'm not sure how much the injury affected him. But even at that, Joe, I don't know that Trey Roberson was the type of quarterback, regardless of the injury or not, that could move on to the next level. Trey, I wish you luck. You were exciting to watch. The injury just changed a lot of things for you. Timing. You know, Joe, how many times have we talked about timing? Being in the right place at the right time. Being available at the right in the right place for the right situation. Sometimes that timing works the other way. The injury that should never happen. How about the most famous injury of all time and timing incident? Wally Pipp and Lou Gehrig. Wally Pipp has to sit out a game. Lou Gehrig comes in. Wally Pipp never played again. So, I mean, we're going way back in history, but my point is this. Sometimes timing plays a role. In order to change the outcome, you have to change what you're willing to do. And, Joe, you said it best. Doesn't he realize he needs to maybe change his position to have a chance to move forward? I don't think he does right now. I don't think his ego has allowed him. Maybe he's getting some bad advice.
Okay, you ready for the next question?
Yes, I am, Joe.
This comes from Mark from Washington. The Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Games are getting ready to be played. It's not much of a series anymore. Should we continue it because of the tradition, or should we end it because it's not competitive?
That's a great question. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, the high school writer, will be coming onto the show at the top of the hour, and we're going to be talking about the Indiana All-Star Series. Of course, the Indiana All-Stars have played some preliminary games against the Junior All-Stars leading into that, and it is this weekend. The Indiana All-Star game, I believe, is again. So, my comment, first of all, is it is not what it used to be. I remember when we used to go there and it would be packed. It just would be packed. It'd be packed at Freedom Hall, and it would be packed in Indianapolis, whether it was Market Square Arena or going forward after that. In the last decade, it's all changed, probably a little more than the last decade. Some of that is because of the number of All-Star games that are out there, the number of events that are on TV, the McDonald's All-Star games. Kentucky changed as far as its competitiveness. The emphasis has been lost. I know that the Indianapolis Star for years has done a tremendous job and continues to do a great job in connection with some other organizations to keep this going. I know it was big in donating money to the Blind Fund. Pat Aikman for years ran this series for the Star, did a great job with putting the marketing together. I think they've done everything they can to try to keep this in the limelight. Should it go away? I don't know. I hate to say it should. At this point, there has to be some thought to making some adjustments. Do we change it and put Kentucky, Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana in there? Do we make it an Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Illinois All-Star Series where they play four games, rotating sites, where they play two series and rotate the states, play in Michigan, play in Indiana, play in Ohio, play in Illinois? I don't know what you do. But even the McDonald's All-Star games, and you see some of the greatest players, high school players in the country, the guys that will go pro maybe next year or in 2 years or in 3 years, who we will be seeing sign $100 million contracts, even those games fail to draw. Has TV done that? Has Internet done that? You know, the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star game not only was well attended, but it would be on many radio stations. And that just doesn't happen anymore. So that's a great question, Mark. I'm sorry I can't give you a more definitive answer. We're probably going to have to rework how it is done. We're just going to have to rework maybe. But Kyle Nenrip will be coming up top of the hour from the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk to him about that and get his views on it. It definitely, for those of us who have seen the golden years of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series and seen it come to this level, it is disappointing. And, folks, I had four players who I coached on the high school level that eventually became Indiana All-Stars. And I can tell you, each year they went into the series, the attendance went down. And they're pretty darn good players, and they were playing with pretty darn good players. I think TV, the number of games, the number of All-Star tournaments, AAU has changed it. I think that these were showcase tournaments, Joe, showcase tournaments. They're not what they used to be. And, of course, Indiana has dominated Kentucky for years now.
Well, I pulled up the rosters, and here I'll give you first Kentucky's college choices, okay? And let me see what the date of this is to make sure. Okay, this was April 17th, so some things have probably changed, okay? Undecided, Western Kentucky, Miami of Ohio for football, Western Kentucky, Butler, undecided, Finley, Louisville, undecided. Now let's go to the Indiana roster. Kentucky, IU, Wright State, Northern Kentucky, IUPUI, Purdue, Northwestern, Ball State, Xavier, Ball State, Butler. You know, you're talking all Division I colleges right there. And, you know, I guess the recruiting tells the tale of maybe why the and I've noticed it too in years past, and here in the last few years, Kentucky's teams, I've looked at their rosters and to see where they're going, and you know they've got a lot of kids that are undecided. It's like they may not even play basketball anymore, whereas you know there's kids on this 13-year team roster here. There's kids that are left off of it. They're still playing in Division I basketball, and if they played in Kentucky, would probably be made the team no problem.
Well, Joe, that's great information, And that creates a new question for me to add to Mark's question from the mailbag. You know, what is Kentucky doing to choose their players? How are they doing it? What does the organizations in Kentucky, their coaches group, whoever the sponsors are, I think it was the Lions organization in Kentucky for years. I'm not sure if they still do it or not. I believe it was the Lions. How are they choosing these players? Because for years, Joe, when you looked at the Kentucky roster, they were all going to major universities, UK, U of L, Indiana, Michigan, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Georgia. What we're seeing is we don't even know if these are Division I caliber type players. We don't even know if they're Division II type caliber players. So are they not organized? Are they not getting the players, the key players, to commit? You know, I've heard that in recent years, it's been iffy on some Indiana players, whether they were going to commit. But it still carries enough weight, I think, in Indiana with the high school coaches, communities, to be an Indiana All-Star is important. You walk into the gymnasiums, the Indiana All-Star jerseys are up there. And you think about who's been Indiana All-Stars, and you think about you're one of those people, the Rick Mounts, the Jimmy Riles, you know, some of those great players back then, Kent Benson, who's been on our show, the Zellers, who have been on our show, a lot of great players, not only Mr. Basketballs, but Indiana All-Stars. I played with one in high school, Mike Ballinger. He's been on our show. Scott Rowland, I coached him at Jasper. Fruit Lezinovich coached him as his head coach for a couple years at Jasper. Michael Lewis coached him at Jasper. When he left high school, he was like 10th or 12th on the all-time scoring list. Toby Madison at Washington Catholic coached him through his first year on the high school level in the varsity, developed him through the grade schools. It was important to be an Indiana All-Star. Scott Mills participated in one of the first slam dunk contests that the Indiana All-Stars had, where they brought in some kids from around the state. It was prestigious to be chosen for that. We worked hard to market Scott Mills. For those of you who don't know, Scott Mills was 6 foot tall, 150 pounds, 155 wet, could jump, literally, folks, I'm not kidding you, could play 2 years of basketball, brought him, saw him playing pickup ball, got him out. He learned quickly, went on to Bellarmine to play basketball. I'll think of it here in a second, in Owensboro. He could jump over a car and dunk the basketball. Scott Mills could. Amazing. My point is this. It still carries prestige in Indiana, Joe. The question is, does it carry prestige in Kentucky?
Well, I just pulled up the Rivals database for 2014 and basketball for the state of Kentucky. And while there is a kid, he's probably not from Kentucky, that's going to Tulsa, but he's in Jackson, Kentucky, and plays for it. It must be one of those prep schools. It's called 22-Foot Academy. But other than that, there's a kid going to Vermont that's not on the team, and there's a kid going to Marshall that's not on the team. But there were only 15 people in the database for 2014 recruits, and I'm not going to count the one that went to the academy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's only 7 Division I signees from the state of Kentucky, excluding the kid who played at that academy. So, and 2 of them aren't on the team.
Amazing. Amazing where it's gone to. Folks, we'll move on from this question, but we'll talk with Kyle Medenriff coming up at the top of the hour about it. What do we got left, Joe?
Okay, I'm reading something here. Ask Coach K if there's a direct relationship to his coaching in Indiana All-Stars. He coached 4.
I think the correlation is that the young men had the ability and the commitment and the discipline. And I, as a coach, like many coaches, are willing to go out and do not only the work with the individual player on the floor, the individual work with the player off the floor, because a coach has to keep them coming in the gym, has to keep them working on their skills, has to keep them believing they can do these things. Also, those young men were in families that wasn't trying to live their life through them as basketball players, but were supporting them as basketball players in their endeavors and telling them, you know, if you want to be good at this, you got to go do this. You got to get this done. You got to listen. You got to pay attention. Doesn't mean the parents always agreed with me as a coach. You know that's not true, and I know that's not true because I don't agree with people that always coach my kids. The point is you have to let them be coached. They have to be coachable. And then the third thing that a coach has to do, and folks, I really mean this, especially depending on the school you're in or the part of the state you're in, you've got to get out there and market your kids. I've told this story before. Scott Rowland, who was an outstanding baseball player as well as an outstanding basketball player, did not attend the Top 40 workout. And back in those days, no one made the All-Star team unless you attended the Top 40 workout, because that's where the coaches and the advisors were to watch these kids play, these top players. Well, he couldn't because of baseball commitments, which totally understand. And I spent the better part of a month traveling up during the tournament. Unfortunately, we weren't in the tournament. We got beat. Visiting with people that were a part of the All-Star selection, talking to Pat Aikman, delivering some highlight tapes. Those were critical back then because you just didn't have much footage of individual players at that time. It wasn't the YouTube player. And you have to get out there and let people know about your player. You have to give them some cred, some street cred. How's that sound, Joe? Some street cred. So the coach has to do those things. If they didn't have ability, would they have made it? No. Would I have been able to make them all-star players without ability? No. It takes all those ingredients coming together. And I'm not the only coach that was ever like that or will be like that. But as a coach, I don't believe you just show up and practice and scrimmage. I believe you work with your players individually. You work with them two-on-two, three-on-three, groups of three. You work with them off the court in trying to understand the game. You go over tape or video or DVD or whatever with them today. You have to do those things, and you have to keep them focused on expanding their basketball game. The one thing that I can tell you, and I learned it from other great coaches, and I know there are coaches that do it now, you have to keep players expanding their game. If they can shoot a set shot, they need to shoot a jump shot. If they can shoot, can they shoot it off the dribble? If they can handle the ball, can they make moves to the basket? Can they play defense? Can they jump? Can they rebound? You have to expand their game. So to the question, Joe, it's very simple. No, I don't think it was me, but I do think it was how I approached with players, and their abilities made all the difference in the world. If I wasn't willing, my assistants weren't willing to put in the extra time on and off the court to get the street cred, so to speak, it would have been tougher for kids from Jasper and Washington Catholic to make it.
Okay. And that's all we've got on the mailbag this week, Coach. Anything you've got before we go to break and try to get Kyle on?
Well, Kyle's going to be coming up. We're going to get on a break. Remember, we want to talk about the Big Three at some point, where they're going. The word is out that Miami's going to try to make a run for Carmelo Anthony. Folks, I got to tell you, Carmelo does not want anybody in the front seat with him, and he's not going to bring the tide up or have a rising tide. He's going to take the tide out. I don't think it's a good move. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We've still got to mention college baseball. College World Series is getting started, Joe. IU's not in it. Kentucky's not in it. But there is a team from at least our tri-state area that is in it. And they've been pretty solid in baseball, football, and basketball. You'll probably know who I mean, but we'll talk about them as well. The U.S. Open is underway at Pinehurst, and that's going. So much going on yet, Joe. Donald Sterling won't go away. He's still hanging around.
And of course,
we'll talk a little bit more about some high school things going on. Baseball semis going on. I believe girls softball state finals. There's still a lot that we need to talk about before the show ends. But we got to go to break, folks. I'm going to tell you what. Two things you don't want to miss. Kyle Nedenrick from the Indianapolis Star. We're going to talk about the Indiana All-Star Series. What's going on with Trey Lyles? Trayvon Blewett was explosive. Why isn't he going to IU? Even Purdue, for that matter. Blackman was solid. They warmed up for the series, which is coming up with Kentucky. And Don Schulteis will be along later in the second hour. Who's hot? Who's not? Folks, keep it right here. Get you some coffee, a drink, or if it's later somewhere, grab you a beer. I don't know. We're going to break when we come back. We're going to be talking with Kyle Nedenrick of the Indianapolis Star. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We're getting ready to begin the second hour of Friday's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We've got Kyle Nedenrick of the Indianapolis Star coming up here in just a minute. We're going to talk to him about the Indiana All-Star Series with Kentucky, get his thoughts on this group of All-Stars, how they performed up to this point, and where this Indianapolis-Kentucky series goes now and in the future. I do want to mention, folks, the Pacers are sponsoring their Pacers Youth Basketball Camps. Pacers Youth Basketball Camps. Darnell Hillman will be one of the instructors. It's for boys and girls ages 8 through 14. Locations for the Pacers camp. You can get a hold of the Pacers, pacers.com, for more information. But you can get to one of these camps. Here's the locations. On July 14th, the Pacers Youth Basketball Camps will be in New Palestine. On July 15th, up in Kokomo, Indiana, Indianapolis Metropolitan High School on July 16th, Brown County Y in Nashville, Indiana on July 17th, Hendricks Regional Y in Avon, Indiana on July 18th. Contact the Pacers for more information at pacers.com. That's Pacers Youth Basketball Clinics. Be a great time to get those guys out. This is camp time, but it's also Indiana All-Star, Kentucky All-Star Series time. The first game coming up at Bankers Life. And here to talk with us about about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, Kyle Nedenrick from the Indianapolis Star. So, Joe, do we have Kyle available yet, or...
Yes, he's on.
All right, Kyle, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, well, you're the one that we should be thinking, because, you know, we're in the Kentucky-Indiana All-Star Series season, a series that has been going on for years. We had a show or a question on the show earlier, Kyle, and I'm going to bring that up towards the end of our discussion, talking about what is the future of this series. But before we do that, the Indiana All-Stars, it's a talented group. Although Trey Lyles has been struggling a little bit physically, which I hope you can tell us a little bit about, they've had some warm-up games against the Indiana Juniors coming up to this first game with Kentucky. How's the All-Star team looked? Your thoughts, and what's Trey Lyles' situation?
Yeah, I was, you know, I was at Columbus North on Wednesday night. I was actually had my parents' 40th anniversary, so was out of. I missed the Logansport game Monday night, but I was down there Wednesday, and Trayvon Blewett was really good. Had 44 points that night, and was very efficient, you know, in doing so. You know, he just continues to. You know, amazed, you know, just watching him play such an offensive machine, really. I mean, if he try to put a smaller guy on him, he'll take that guy down the post and score, or he'll, you know, obviously his three-point shooting is well-documented too, but was really impressed with him. And really, the whole, I thought the seniors played pretty well as a team. I thought Bryant McIntosh from Greensburg controlled the game pretty well. He can do that, does a good job with that without having to score a whole lot. And, you know, James Blackman came on in the second half and really caught fire after kind of a, you know, not a poor first half, but, you know, didn't really do a whole lot. But second half, he was, between him and Blewett, they were both, you know, playing very well. And again, it's exhibition. You know, there's not a, you know, it's not like a, you know, there's a ton of defense, although, you know, I thought the juniors, you know, played them pretty solid for most of the first half, and then second half they kind of, ran out of gas a little bit, I thought. And, you know, in those games, the juniors haven't really practiced much together, been together too much, and the seniors have. So you're at a little bit of a disadvantage there too. But, you know, I think, you know, this Indiana All-Star team, maybe not as across-the-board deep as the team 2 years ago, the 2012 team, but, you know, when you've got Blewett, Blackman, you know, McIntosh, you know, if Lyles plays tonight, obviously he's a huge factor as well. And, you know, really a lot of good players, you know, on that senior team who've had nice careers and I think will go on and have pretty solid college career as well. But, yeah, the latest on Trey Lyles, and again, I was not at Logansport Monday night, and apparently Trey had told some people that he'd had meningitis a few weeks ago and was recovering from that. I talked to his dad yesterday. And he said it was more of a severe dehydration fatigue issue, and they're going to talk to the doctor again today and see if he can play tonight. So that's kind of where that stands. I haven't heard any. They may or may not have seen the doctor already today, but you know, I guess we'll find out more on that later. But so that's kind of where that stands. And you know, he didn't play obviously Monday or Wednesday. And, you know, may or may not play this weekend. And, you know, from talking to his dad, it was just an issue of him, you know, just having trouble kind of staying hydrated. And kind of, it was concerning to them. So they went in, saw the doctor, and he recommended not playing this week and just try to get hydrated. And you know, they hope it's nothing more than that. But, you know, I guess we'll find out more as the day unfolds and see if he plays tonight.
Well, I know that I could appreciate your clarification of the meningitis comment because, you know, meningitis is not something you go walking around with. You're usually quarantined or at least put in bed rest and that type of thing. So I'm glad to hear that it isn't that. Obviously, having Trey Lyles on the court, Kyle, gives us, from an Indiana standpoint, you got this big guy who can score, but you got this big guy who can also pass. And with guys like Blackman and Blewett on the court, just having him on the court makes us even more explosive because you don't just have to go into a black hole. He's going to find a way to also feed people.
Yeah, and that's one thing, you know, people who have watched Lyles play over the years, I think, appreciate that about his game, that he's not a, you know, he's not a guy you just dump it into and then forget it. You know, you're just kind of standing there with your hands on your hips. I mean, you got to be ready when you're playing with him, because if he gets double teamed, he's gonna look for cutters. He's gonna look for, you know, guys around the 3-point line. You know, we saw it for, you know, several years with Jeremy Tyler, who thrived in that role, especially as a senior, where he would spot up or, you know, cut to the basket, and he was able to kind of, you know, make his name, you know, and ended up, you know, committing to Ball State, and I think he's going to have a great career. I think that was a great pickup for Ball State. But more to your point, I think, you know, obviously having Lyles out there makes you a better team, because he's a good team player, you know, and he's a very talented guy, and, you know, you put him with Blackman and Blewett and the rest of those guys, I mean, that's a pretty phenomenal group. And, you know, I hope we do get to see him play, just for the fact that he is Mr. Basketball, and you hate to see I know he doesn't want to sit out, obviously, and, you know, it'd be fun, I think, for the people down in Lexington tonight to watch him, watch a future Kentucky player play. So, you know, I hope he does play, and, you know, even if he's not able to, you know, not physically able to play a ton of minutes, you know, hopefully at least get out for a little while and be able to, participate, you know, because I know, you know, him, he's not a kid who just wants to sit out, you know, he obviously wants to play, so I hope that's able to happen.
Yeah, I think that from an attendance standpoint for Kentucky, and this kind of goes with the question that I do want to ask here in just a few minutes with you before you go, but from an attendance standpoint down in Lexington, I'm sure having a UK player being able to participate, being able to play, would probably bring out and increase the attendance in what has been a lacking, sagging situation when the games are held in Kentucky.
Yeah, obviously, you know, that's going to help if you got a Kentucky guy, you know, playing, especially when the game this year is moving to Lexington, his future home down there. So, you know, I don't know what the answer is for Kentucky. Like you said, it's not been a great situation. You know, I haven't covered it the last several years. You know, I don't know if there's necessarily a truth to it, or, you know, if it's just kind of a year-by-year situation. Obviously, it's just a different world we're in now. You know, it's not, you know, even the crowds in Indiana aren't what they used to be. But, you know, if you're still drawing about 6,000 or so people for an All-Star game, you know, I don't think that's anything to sneeze at. But you know, everybody always says it's a dying game. And, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, I'm coming from, you know, where I was at in Missouri. And if you drew 6,000 people to an All-Star game there, I mean, people would be doing, you know, cartwheels. But, you know, when you compare it to, you know, what it used to be, yeah, I mean, it's not as big a deal, but it's just kind of the world we're in now. Everybody's kind of spread out, you know, taking their kids to travel tournaments, and, you know, everybody's kind of in their own little pocket, you know, and have their own interests anymore. It's not if it's not happening on TV in front of you, it's probably not, you know, maybe important to you anymore, but I think it's still a good event. I mean, if you talk to the kids who play in this or play high school basketball, being an Indiana All-Star is a huge deal to them. You know, it's a huge deal to the school and communities. It's what they strive to be. You know, it holds prestige. You know, even if the you know, maybe Kentucky hasn't held up their end of the bargain as far as being competitive. And, you know, I know they've had situations where, you know, guys just don't show up. You know, they had a couple players this week who made the team who didn't even show up, apparently, so they're not playing. But, you know, I can't imagine, you know, if that happened here, you know, I don't think that would go over too well. But it seems like they do have a pretty solid team this year, and I've seen a lot of these Kentucky guys play, and I think they'll be a good representative team. And they've given Indiana a pretty good game. But yeah, as far as the attendance down there, I'm not sure what the answer is. You'd think it would be a bigger deal to them, but, you know, having been at Freedom Hall the last couple of years, and it's just not, you know, just hasn't had the buzz down there that you think it might, or, you know, think it could.
Well, Kyle, I absolutely agree with your comments and your point on Indiana. I still believe that it's very, very important to not only the player, to the program, but to the community that you have a young man or a young woman selected to the Indiana All-Star team. And of course, The women's series, girls' series is going on as well, and we'll touch on that in just a minute. Having had the opportunity to coach on the varsity level, parts are full for four different Indiana All-Stars and play in high school with one, I know how important it is. I know how prestigious it is. I know what it meant to the people, what it meant to the team, what it meant to the program. The fact that Indiana still draws 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people to the All-Star game is tremendous because, as I was mentioning earlier on the show, Kyle, McDonald's All-American games that have the very best, I mean the very best cream of the crop, headed to the NBA-type players possibly right out of high school or after a year. They don't draw those kind of numbers. But I've also taken in the Kentucky side, which we just talked about, and I'm not going to belabor it. Attendance continues to slide down there. I hope it's better this year. I don't know how they're choosing their players. I do know when you look down at the roster, you feel like they've got some pretty good players. A lot of those players, it's showing uncommitted, not playing basketball. They're playing a different sport. So it begs, for me, the question is, what is their process in choosing? I know that you can't necessarily answer that, but I do think that people need to get out and watch the game on Saturday for sure in Indianapolis, correct?
Yeah, Saturday at Banker's Life, yeah.
Yeah, and people need to get out. Take your sons and daughters. Kyle, you made a good point. All these people are off to these travel tournaments, and their families are divided up. They're spending all this money. Man, they could be taking all their kids, going downtown Indianapolis, having a great time, going to that All-Star game, giving their kids something to dream about or hope for. I know it has special memories for me, and I wish more people would get back out and see what an enjoyable time that is.
Well, yeah, and I've got a neighbor here in my neighborhood. He's got two younger kids, and they he took the family, his two kids who are in elementary school, down to Columbus North on Wednesday. You know, I saw them after the game. They were getting an autograph line. They got their pictures taken with Trey Lyles, P.J. Thompson, James Blackman, Trayvon Blewett, McIntosh, Sean Sellers. So they I talked to them a little bit after the game, and the kids were just, their eyes were lit up. These are guys, and that's how you kind of generate and foster, the importance of the series. You kind of make a connection where these kids see, oh, man, these are the guys representing our state. We're going to see these guys on TV in college and possibly in the pros someday. I mean, and you got access to them right there. You got a chance to go, walk up to them and say, hey, can I take a picture with you? And that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a – and obviously the All-Stars are very receptive. They're kind of a relaxed environment. And a couple years down the road, it's going to be a lot harder to get the opportunity to spend a piece. That's about covering high school, too, is, standing over there at the Marion, talking to Brian McIntosh, just stand on the steps out there talking about the last 4 years of high school basketball for them. And no, it just comes to it too. And stuff so I think that's, kind of the cool part about high schools is you get to do it on them. Basketball, it is somewhat business at that level, but it hasn't become their job necessarily yet, like it will, even in college where it's such a kind of consistent thing. And the machine kind of, chews you up and spits you out somewhat, but at this level, it's still about, loving basketball. And, I think, you get past that kind of the generation coming up is a good thing. And I think that, maybe the most important thing this whole week for the Indiana All-Stars is that connection with the fans. And I saw that at Columbus North, and I think doing those autographs and pictures and stuff like that is a good thing to connect with those younger guys.
Well, great points, and your signal got a little gurgled there a little bit. I want to apologize. That's the cell phone situations we run into sometimes. But let's go ahead and end this. Tell us a little. The girls are playing also. They'll play in Kentucky, and they'll play in Indianapolis, Lexington, and Indianapolis. What about this Indiana senior group?
Well, they got beat down in Logansport, or up in Logansport pretty handily. And back and played pretty well. They fell behind the junior, and the juniors have a really good team. And I don't, you know, I don't know if you've seen, you know, so Allie Padberg from Columbus North is going to Notre Dame, and she's on that junior team, and she's, you know, even Miss Basketball, you know, Whitney Jennings said, you know, regardless of class, you know, she's the best player in the state, you know, so I think that probably tells you something. And they got a lot of, you know, players who are already committed to big time schools, but yeah, I was impressed with the way the seniors came back on Wednesday, and they were down in the second half and were able to come back and beat the juniors, and a lot of that girl, Danielle Catino from right here, you know, Ben Davis High School, and, you know, made a couple real big plays at the end of that game. She's about, you know, 6'2", and she's actually going to Purdue to play volleyball. But, you know, can really, really a good athlete. And had a couple big rebounds, made some free throws, and helped win that game. You know, yeah, it's a pretty solid group. I think, you know, Maura Munsterman from Evansville Modern Day, going to Indiana. You know, Whitney Jennings obviously talked about her. She's going to Iowa from Logansport, Miss Basketball. You know, some of the others, Kayla Brown from Westfield, going to Miami of Ohio. It's not a super, you know, where you got all these players who are going to the huge big-time schools, but a pretty solid team, and a team that seems to play pretty well together. You know, Destiny Washington from Lawrence North, she's going to Loyola. Lauren Whitlock from Bloomington South, she's going to Penn. Anna Owens going to Cincinnati, had a pretty good game from Lawrence North the other night. And Erica Moore from Mount Vernon, too, a very talented player. She had a knee injury last season and wasn't able to play, you know, but she didn't play. And she's going to be a nice player there. So, you know, they got some good players on that team. And I'm not exactly sure what Kentucky has on the girls' side, but that's been more of an even series, you know, in recent years. So I expect that'll probably be the case again tonight.
Well, it'll be exciting, folks. If you're near Lexington, get out there and watch the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series, both girls and boys. There's some great talent out there on both sides of the court and both genders. And then tomorrow night at Bankers Life in Indianapolis, they'll tip it up again. I think it starts at 5 p.m. Get out there. It's great fun for the family. Indianapolis is a great city anyway, just to hang out with your family, go to those games. Kyle, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. And we'll probably get back with you in a week or two and find out where things are at with some of these decommits, uncommits, and committed players around the state.
Sounds great. I appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star. Always wonderful to talk to him. Folks, we'll apologize again. Sometimes that cell phone signal kind of comes in and out, but great stuff. The Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series is alive. It's still well in Indiana. It's on life support in Kentucky. If you're listening around Lexington or in the state of Kentucky, Tennessee border, whatever, come on up, watch those people play. It's great high school basketball. It really is. They play hard. They play with talent. It's good stuff. And, of course, Indianapolis, within a couple hundred miles, get up to Bankers Life and watch Indianapolis, Indiana All-Star, Kentucky All-Star Series, boys and girls at Bankers Life on Saturday. We're going to go to break. We'll be talking with Don Schulteis. He's going to give us his who's hot and who's not. I think I'm hot. Joe, not so much. We'll be back. You're listening to Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot. And when you're not, you're not. Put all the money in and let it roll with you. When you're hot, you're hot.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Who's hot? Who's not? The John Chase is coming up. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I'm hot. I'm hot. Kyle Neddenrip was hot. The Coach K and Joe Show was hot. Joe got a little iffy there for a while. I do want to apologize for the cell signal. Kyle Neddenrip out of the Indianapolis area, Indianapolis Star, we had a little bit of fade in and out, but I think the gist of his point was clear. Indianapolis is still drawing for the Indiana portion of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series. Kentucky struggling. But the talent on the Indiana side is there. The commitment is there. It's still important in the community. Folks, if you are in the Indianapolis area, get out there and watch that Kentucky-Indiana All-Star Series at Bankers Life tomorrow night. It'll be a lot of fun. If you got young kids, get them out there. Let them dream big. Folks, let them dream big. Dream big, because that's how you get big. That's how you make it big. You got a dream that you can accomplish it, that you can do it. What was my old adage? Conceive it, believe it, achieve it, and boy, are we talking to one of those guys right now. Don Schulteis, Indy correspondent. Don, who's hot and who's not?
Coach, the Coach K Joe Show, I guess, is hot today, if you say so. So you want to get right into this?
Do it, baby, do it.
All right, we're going to lead off on the hot side, Coach. And Joe might have witnessed this, although he probably didn't go to the girls' state track championships, but freshman Lena Irby of Lawrence Central won the state track championship. And that's quite a feat. Just to be a track winner in one event as a freshman is quite a feat, Coach. But she didn't do it in two events. She did it in three events last weekend. She captured the 100, the 200, and the 400-meter dash. She's the first freshman to sweep these events since Olympic gold medalist Maisel Malone of North Central did it in 1984. And she's the first to sweep three events as state champion since 1997 for any grade level. So it's something that's rarely done and something that's very rarely done as a freshman. Lena Irby of Lawrence Central, for your three-peat as track champion in three events, and these are tough events, 100, 200, 400, you are smoking hot.
You know, Don, that's an awesome accomplishment for a freshman to do. Joe, you should hit the applause button for that. I mean, really, that's pretty awesome to be a freshman and accomplish three wins. I mean, can this gal go through all 4 years and do it all 4 years? That'll be interesting to see, Don.
Yeah, you know, girls mature differently, and it's rare that you'll see that happen. But if she could do that, it'll probably be the first time ever, right? Not only in this state, but maybe even in this great union. But we'll have to stay tuned. But, boy, I was just so impressed when I caught that. And I bet for those that attended the girls' state track championships, they were probably mesmerized by that accomplishment. Well done, Lena Irby of Lawrence Central. Now, Coach, on the not-so-hot, you know, the World Cup is started. We started, I think, on Thursday with Brazil, win 3-1. But it's not about soccer. It's about protests, riots, vandalism. They're pushing over police cars and breaking windows and having major confrontations, the protesters that have attended the World Cup. And for that to take the luster off the World Cup, which I think the whole world, you know, maybe soccer is not where it's going to be in this country yet, but around the world, soccer is probably one of the most, probably the most successful sports and most watched sports. So for those protesters down there taking the shine off the World Cup during this year, you are not hot.
No, they are not. And, you know, Don, the disappointing thing, and I know you've seen it in NCAA championships and NBA and NFL and all that, why do not just young people but grown adults think they have to burn cars, tear down signs, destroy stoplights, whatever, in celebration? I mean, it's almost ridiculous. Or to go the other way, you know, walking out of a Los Angeles Dodgers game and getting beat up because you're a fan of San Francisco Giants or vice versa. I mean, it really is not what the sport is about. You go in the stadium, you cheer, you scream, you yell, you complain. If you want to celebrate, celebrate. Why has it got to turn into vandalism and all this other stuff?
I agree, Coach. I think sometimes the mob psychology takes over, and people that are usually rational thinkers, for some reason, with that getting involved with the mob, they just let those inhibitions or that discipline drop down and jump into the mob and participate. It's ridiculous, and it really hurts a lot of sports.
You know what would make things better? If they just do what Harry Carey used to say and celebrate with an ice-cold Budweiser, they'd be better off. Instead, they celebrate with a 12-pack of Budweiser. One's all you need. Let's keep moving on.
All right, on the hot side, Coach, Rafael Nadal wins the French Open last weekend. He is 66-1 in the French Open during his career. This marks the ninth French Open title that he has won, the fifth consecutive title, the French Open, and he now has 14 total Grand Slam titles. So nine of his 14 Grand Slams are the French Open, Coach, and he ties Pete Sampras with that 14 Grand Slam titles, but 66-1, winning his fifth consecutive French Open. Rafael is hot this week, Coach.
He's a fine wine. He's just a fine French wine. He just keeps getting better over time.
No doubt. All right, on the not-so-hot, squeaky, clean Roy Williams. Might not be so squeaky clean, Coach. The University of North Carolina and Coach Roy Williams are scrambling around to counter former Tar Heel Rashad McCants' claim that during the 2005 national championship run that they were all part of academic wrongdoing. He alleges that tutors wrote papers for him so that he could pass classes, and that Roy Squeaky Clean Williams knew about it 100%. Now get this, Coach. In a statement, Coach Roy Squeaky Clean Williams strongly disagreed with McCants' comment. I'd say University of North Carolina, Coach Roy Williams, and those tutors that were writing those papers, allegedly, you are not hot this week.
You know, Don, what's really interesting about that, in my opinion, is that group of recruits right through that period, they just caused a lot of trouble for coaches at North Carolina. You know,
Roy Williams came in on the heels of Doherty getting run out. It just seems like, and to come out this much, you know, later, Rashad coming out later on and bringing this up, I'm sure Roy, whether he knew it or not, he's still complicit in the situation, but this isn't the only place that has probably happened. But Roy, you're not hot, and he's no longer squeaky clean. All right, Coach, you talked about it, and Kyle Niedenriff talked about it, but Trayvon blew it this week, formerly a Park tutor, and he's one of the big three on the Indiana Boys basketball all-star team. This week did dominate in the pregame scrimmages against the junior all-stars. On Wednesday night, he scores 44 points, 12 rebounds in a tune-up win over the junior all-star teams, where the main all-star team wins 127-105. And as you pointed out, Trey Lyles wasn't even in the lineup. Kyle Niedenriff was quoted in the article describing his performances that he just thinks sometimes that Trayvon just wakes up and gets out of bed, and he's already got 10 points. He's that good. He's going on to Xavier to play basketball. And as you pointed out earlier, why couldn't he stay in the state? But it's going to be fun. My daughter's graduated of Xavier. I follow him to some extent. It's going to be fun to see how his career develops. So Trayvon blew it. You are definitely hot. I hope it continues this weekend in the All-Star Series. And Don, you were really the first person to let me understand or help me to understand, tell me about Trayvon Blewett. You talked about him. I had not really followed him or seen him play. You talked about how good he was. He looks like he's not only an outstanding athlete, outstanding basketball player, but a smart player as well. And it doesn't matter who he plays against, what game it is, what level it is, he is just outstanding. Yes, he is, and I think he really has the opportunity to go one or two and done in college. I really believe that. Physically, I mean, he's developed and athletic, but, boy, once he starts really getting in the weight room and conditioning at a much higher level, I think that and the combination of his basketball IQ, as you point out, and his abilities, he's got a real shot of being a one or two and done type player in college. I really believe that. So,
well, Trayvon is hot, fun. But who's Trayvon is hot, but who's not?
Well, Steve Coburn. You may know this name. He is an owner of California Chrome. California Chrome wins both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, even though he was wearing a nasal strip. He was approved to wear that nasal strip to compete the third leg of the Triple Crown. In fact, California Chrome was on the hot list a couple weeks ago after the Preakness victory. But his owner, Steve Coburn, after California Chrome finished a disappointing fourth in the Belmont, he lost to a horse named Tonalist. Steve Coburn put his foot in his mouth and went on a rant. You should have had him on the rant section or segment of the Coach K and Joe show, because he just went off on horse racing and everything. But he really called out Tonalist and its owners by saying that the horse and the owners took the coward's way out entering in any of the other two legs of the Triple Crown. And he really kind of made a fool of himself. He looked like a big sore loser, and it really took away from the victories and the success that California Chrome had. So Steve Coburn, owner of California Chrome, on your unbelievable sour grapes rant after the Belmont loss, you are not hot. And just to think, Don, here's a guy that he had fool's gold that turned out to be gold in his hand with this horse, and over $3 million in winning. He had his, as you used to say, 20 minutes of fame. And to end it like that, that's what people are remembering now. He's not hot.
No doubt about it. He won two. His horse did well. He's going to make millions of dollars, breeding. He should have just kept it together. Anyway, moving on. We'd be a little bit remiss if we didn't talk about those great San Antonio Spurs, who you talked at length at the beginning of the show. They join now, Coach, the 1977 Portland Trailblazers as the only two teams to win back-to-back NBA Finals games by more than 19 points. Can you believe that? I mean, who would ever thought that the Spurs could beat the Heat in back-to-back games by 19 points or more in this finals run? The Spurs are shooting 54.2% from the field through those first four games. That's the second best through four games. The best is the 1984 Lakers, who shot 54.6%. So San Antonio, as you wrap up this series as early as Sunday, in my prediction, you are hot. Agree 100%, and they are fun to watch. All right, on the not-so-hot side, and I'll end the not-so-hot side with the L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling again. He was on my not-hot list several weeks ago when he authorized and raised those racist comments. But guess what he's doing now, Coach? Talk about a sore loser. You know, he sold the franchise, or has agreed to sell the franchise, to Steve Ballmer, Microsoft billionaire, for $2 billion. But he has now authorized his team of lawyers to hire four private investigation firms to dig up dirt on the NBA, former and current commissioners, and its 29 other owners. They were given a six-figure budget over the next 30 days to examine league finances, any allegations, and compensation, and they're also looking at whether the owners ever, in their comments or interviews, said jokingly or directly said anything off color. So Donald Sterling, the lame duck owner of the LA Clippers, for this authorization of smut, you are not hot.
You know, I hate to use this little pun, but he is not sterling silver. He is tarnished silver. I mean, Don, the guy, he just won't go. His name is going to be synonymous. I mean, people are going to say he pulled a Donald Sterling. He pulled a Sterling. It's just amazing. He should have taken his $2 billion, walked away, started helping all kinds of foundations and causes, and maybe come out of this in the end, but he's not going to now. A lot of people are going to get hurt here, Don. A lot of people are going to get hurt.
No doubt about that, Coach, because when you start looking at people's past and just little things they've quipped or said, even though they might not be politically correct, you take that out of context, it's going to just shine a bad light on the NBA, and it's just more saga, and the media just eats this stuff up.
Anyway, Don, that's why we try to mute Joe whenever possible and erase anything he says, because we don't want it to come back.
All right, to end this segment, Coach,
I'll end it on the hot side. According to Forbes magazine, one Michael Jordan, MJ, has moved from the super rich category to the insanely wealthy. The shoe magnate, NBA owner, is now the only athlete in the billionaires club. His stake in the Hornets has moved up because of the LA Clipper sale. He owns 89.5% of the Charlotte Hornets, and they estimate that to be just under $420 million. And his outside net worth, outside the franchise, is estimated to be at over $600 million. So MJ, the man, the basketball player, maybe the greatest of all time, is a billionaire, at least according to Forbes, and the only athlete to reach that level. I would say, Coach, with all that money, he is hot, at least this week. As Dickie V would say, MJ, you're a billionaire, baby. He's hot. He's a billionaire, baby. He's hot. John, great stuff. Great stuff. What do you think about Trey Lyles coming out, just real quick before we let you go, makes a comment he was recovering from meningitis as he's
yeah, I read the article.
Everybody.
In fact, he was on my not hot list, but I decided to take him off because, well, I like him, and, you know, I think he's legitimately nursing something, but to confuse meningitis with dehydration is a little bit puzzling to me. But according to his dad, Kyle was right. He said that he's really been trying to overcome major dehydration. I don't know if he obviously has been sick probably, but he didn't participate in any workouts this week, did not participate in any of the scrimmages, and was going to be looked at by a doctor this morning. I like Kyle, hope that he gets to play because he's the Mr. Basketball and he's a great talent, and I want him to show off a little bit. He's that good. Plus he'll be going to Kentucky next year. But I don't know, maybe there's something there, and his dad has had a history, Coach, of really controlling him with regards to any kind of a hiccup with his health. I know when he was a junior, final game of the sectional, he tweaked his knee a little bit in the semifinal game, continued to play that game, but his dad held him out of the final because he was not sure what could happen to that knee. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. The health of the athlete's the key. But, you know, when you're the Mr. Basketball, you're in all the advertisements in the newspaper and on TV, I think the public wants you to play if you can.
No doubt about it. Don, before we let you go, would be remiss if I did not wish your lovely wife a happy birthday. I know you took her on a surprise trip to New York City, and you guys had a great time. Even saw where you were bicycling. That's right. Don Schulteis, our Hoops contributor out of Indianapolis, bicycling in Central Park. Sounds like it was a great time. We wish her a happy birthday. Have a great weekend, Don, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Coach. See you later.
We're going to go to a quick break, folks. When we come back, going to wrap this show up, this Friday's edition, tell you who's in the College World Series, why Carmelo Anthony needs to stay away from Miami, or LeBron James should get the heck out of there. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Ubelar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Another awesome what's hot, what's not edition by Don Schulteis, other than Coach proclaiming himself hot. I disagree totally, and I think most of you do as well.
Joe, you know what? I am hot, and you're not, and I should have muted you, but that's okay. Donna, again, what a great list of the who's hot and the who's not. And Joe, one thing, and I do want you to give a quick update on Reed and his time up at the state track meet. Also want to talk about the golf regional. But before I do, before I turn that over to you, I do want to mention the NCAA World Series, College World Baseball World Series. It really is a fun event to watch, the regionals, the super regionals leading up to it. It's held in Omaha, Nebraska. Great stadium out there. UC Irvine and Texas, Vanderbilt, Texas Tech, TCU, Virginia, Mississippi, and the team from this tri-state area, and of course the show originates out of Indiana, a team that represents a university that has had success throughout this season in football, in basketball, in baseball, and really the last several. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. It would be the Louisville Cardinals, seeing how their girls' basketball team, their volleyball team, it is a total package as far as athletics goes. I mean, Jurich has done an unbelievable job with facilities, has done an unbelievable job with his coaches, and they've built a great program. It's not just, you know, one sport, just the total package, everything. I mean, their soccer team's been to the NCAA championship game. Their women have been to the NCAA Final Four basketball. I mean, it just goes on and on.
It's been phenomenal. That athletic administration, if they do not have a wonderful bonus written into their contracts, they should, because not only are they successful on the court, on the fields, but they put out a pretty good product as far as the university's name is concerned. It's given national recognition, and here they are in another NCAA finals event at the College World Series. So good luck to the Louisville Cardinals. They've had a solid baseball program for really the past 7 or 8 years. They're back at the World Series. Congratulations to them. Folks, it's fun TV to watch the College World Series. Joe, we're down to our last 10 minutes or so. Your son, Reed, his relay team, 1600 relay team, participated in the state finals, track tournament. Don talked about this phenomenal freshman gal who won all three events up in Indianapolis. He also participated in the hurdles. I know they didn't win. They didn't have the greatest showing as far as the placing, but they deserve 1 or 2 minutes of comments.
Well, the 4x400 team had a freshman, Elliot Prang, a sophomore, Joe Kempker, Reed, of course, Reed Milligan Jr., and then seniors Zach Wood, and they came a long way during the season to qualify for state. State didn't quite end it like they wanted to. I think they were 24th out of 27, ran a little bit slower time, and then Reed in the hurdles, he ran about 2/10 of a second slower than he did at the regional, but he finished 20th, top 20, but he was also the fourth fastest underclassman. I want to also throw a shout out to Cody Thompson, Scott Thompson, a good friend of ours from Southridge. His son was fifth in the high jump. And then we also had from Dubois, had Tyler Haas, and from Forest Park, Noah Broniker. They both participated in the shot put. So it was a nice showing, and it was fun. And you know, it was a great experience for him. He loved every second of it. He was like, you know, I told him just enjoy it. You know, football had started. He was worried he was missing football, kind of like you know, Elizabeth Albrand going to state in tennis. She's going to she was missing some summer volleyball, and I just told Jason, tell her to enjoy that, and volleyball is going to be there when it gets there, you know. But it was fun. But Coach, I want to mention one other thing we talked about. We've talked about the Indiana Kentucky All Star Game quite a bit, and I just realized that in Lexington, they're using the Beck Center, which is at the University of Transylvania's campus. It seats 1,200 people. So, should Jasper Middle School put a bid in for the Indiana version of it next year or something? I think we seat more than 1,200.
Well, you know, Joe, that is why we struggle with the Kentucky side of this. When Farouk Moyazinovich from Jasper, who I coached his first couple years in high school, he came to Jasper from really Civil War-torn Bosnia, and we were able to work with Farouk, and he eventually became a great player with his effort and his commitment and an Indian All-Star. And I went to Lexington to watch the game. It was in Lexington that year as well, and it was held in their Lexington Municipal Arena, which was a little bit bigger, 4,000 or 5,000, I think. It was lucky to have 500 people there. It was such a disappointment, and most of them were from Indiana. And you know, we're talking, that was over a decade ago. That's how low, how far the Kentucky version of the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Game has slipped, and we can only hope that it gets better. Joe, another thing I want to mention, golf regionals were played this past week. I do want to go back to the golf sectional. I think it's worth noting Jasper, under your brother's tutelage, the Jasper golf team won their sectional at Sultan's Run, and the medalist for the entire sectional, and it was a surprise. I mean, it wasn't so far-fetched that it couldn't happen, but it was a surprise in that he is considered, I guess, the number two golfer on the Jasper team. But Jacob Bartley, my nephew, my brother-in-law, Mike, Janet's brother, Jacob Bartley was the medalist, shot a 70 at Sultan's Run, and I was there to watch the last four or five holes with Joe. We walked the Sultan Run golf course in Jasper, and if you've ever played at Sultan's Run or been to Sultan's Run, you know how beautiful of a course it is. And if you haven't, you need to go play Sultan's Run. Just walking the course was breathtaking. It really was. It's a beautiful course. But Jacob Bartley went on to become medalist. He won. He was tough down the stretch. He held it all the way, kept his focus, hit it straight, hit it least, and put it in a hole, and he was the sectional medalist. They went up to Hickory Point or something in Henryville for the regional, very tough regional. The top teams in the state, literally the top teams in the state, converged on that regional site. Jasper did not advance, nor did any of their individual players, but it was a great year for them. Memorial advanced out of the regional at Country Oaks. Plainfield finished first, Memorial second. They have a young team, Sullivan third, and Vincent Gervais was right behind. Vincent Gervais is also playing in the class baseball semi-states, as is Castle out of Newburgh here in Evansville, Indiana. Gibson Southern is playing, I believe, for a state girls softball championship. And there is another team from the southern part of the state that's all – North Davies. North Davies is playing for a state championship in the class girls softball. So a lot of high school stuff Joe, is still going on, a lot to be proud of, and you should be very proud of, Reed. All your kids have done well. They're good kids, good young men and one woman, because you got one gal, and, of course, my buddies Reese and sometimes Rafe, when he'll talk to me, they're going to be fine as well.
Yeah, Rafe likes going playing basketball for you when there's a swim practice he can miss. So,
hey Joe, we've got about 3 minutes left. Real quickly, folks, I didn't get a chance to spend as much time on the Miami situation. The Big Three are struggling. Wade is just not Wade. He's Dwayne Wade for one or two games like he used to be, but for the bulk of the games, his body's just got too much wear on it. Chris Bosh is the odd man out. He always has been. He doesn't play as aggressively. He has talent, but he's the third wheel. There's no doubt about it. LeBron James has just been difficult to do it all. Haslam doesn't have what he used to have. They don't have Chalmers. They don't have what it takes to beat the Spurs. They still are one of the very best teams in the NBA and have been champions the past couple years. Having said that, I implore you, do not listen to Mike Greenberg. Listen to the rest of the world. I implore you, Pat Riley, you're a smart basketball man. Don't bring Carmelo Anthony to Miami. Your team will not improve. Yes, he has talent. He is getting older, but history will repeat itself with Carmelo. LeBron, go back to Cleveland. Write a new story. Become a legend. You can get it done on your own. Joe, we want to thank Kyle Nedenrip. We want to thank Don Schulteis. And we want to thank all the athletes, all the fans, all the coaches, all the people that make the Coach K and Joe show possible, because sports is what we talk about.
Yes, that's what we do here. We talk sports. We try to stay away from politics.
Oh, could we really go on politics? All right, Joe, you got the floor for this last minute of Friday's edition of the
okay.
Coach K and Joe Show. Be blessed, people. Be blessed.
Well, we'd like to thank everybody for joining us this week, and join us next Friday at the same time, 10 o'clock. Tell your friends. Tell your friends about the Coach K and Joe Show and get them listening, and they'll be addicted and they'll be clicking on it every Friday as well as you will be. So for Coach K, I'm Joe saying that we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week. Mm-hmm.